praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor, and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection. Amen. Today, inshallah, we will continue the classes of the month of Ramadan for 2009. 1430 Hijri, and actually we are having the title of Patience, the Lost Treasure. This is the fourth class, and the title of the class is Ways of Strengthening Patience. Alhamdulillah, over the last previous classes we learned about the beautiful patience, the most difficult type of patience, patience of the noble people, and also we learned about the importance of patience in the sight of Allah from the verses of the Quran and the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, today we will learn about the ways and the means of obtaining and strengthening the quality of patience. First, we must realize that Allah the Almighty never instructed us to do something without providing us with help and support to do it, and ways and means of achieving it. Allah has never created a disease without creating a cure for it. Regarding patience, patience consists of two elements, knowledge and action. So let us know about these two elements of patience so that we can know the ways of strengthening our patience. So the first element regarding patience is the knowledge. The element of knowledge is necessary, because when you learn the benefits of obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding patience, that is to say, when you are patient with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will attain the love of Allah, the help of Allah, support of Allah, unlimited reward from Allah. So when you know and learn all these benefits, you will be ready to forget about and to tolerate the bitterness of patience for the sake of attaining its great benefits. Number two, through knowledge, you can know the punishment of Allah for those whom they are not patient with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, through knowledge, you can realize that patience is the cure for the pain of any adversity, and you can escape the feelings of despair, sadness, or depression through patience with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through knowledge, you can realize the role of the shaitan in our life, as shaitan is always trying to make patience very difficult for us, so that we forget about patience and we just follow our desires and live away from the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the halal and the haram. So this is the first element of patience, which is knowledge, which is very important for every believer. The second element of patience is action. As we learn, patience is a constant battle between motives of religions and motives of desires. If you are looking to obey the commands of your religion, so you must strengthen the motives of religion and weaken the motives of desires. And the question is how? How can I strengthen the motives of religion and weaken the motives of desires in my spirit? Through, the answer is through putting your patience in action. Okay? So let us have an example to make it easy to understand. Suppose we have a person who has a strong desire to commit adultery. He has to strengthen the motives of the religion, and to weaken the motives of the desire so that actually he can be away from that desire of committing adultery. So how he can strengthen this motive of religion? Number one, by learning about the lowering of the gaze, which Allah mentioned in the Quran. So now we will read from Surah An-Nur, and Surah An-Nur is Surah number 24. We will read verse number 31, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the believer to lower their gaze and to avoid looking at the women as a protecting factors for them from committing any illegal actions.
24.
الله الرحمن الرحيم قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم ذلك أزكى لهم إن الله خبير بما يصنعون. Tell the believing men to lower their gaze from looking at forbidden things and to protect their private parts. That is purer for them. Verily Allah is all aware of what they do. So actually, being patient regarding the command of Allah to lower the gaze and to protect the private parts from illegal actions, actually it's the way, practical way, in order to prevent yourself from doing adultery by obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, looking at a woman is one of the arrows of the shaitan. It is, and because of that, because looking at the woman is one of the arrows of the shaitan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the believers to lower their gaze. Okay? It is the looking at the woman that provokes sexual desires, as this looking is like an arrow which is reaching its target, your heart. And when that arrow reaches the target, it can be fatal. You become strongly attached to that woman, trying to reach her by any mean, halal or haram. And this is also the wisdom behind covering the women in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the women to cover themselves because looking at the women is one of the arrows of the shaitan. Okay? So this is number one, how to put your patience in action through remembering the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, through remembering the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lower your gaze. Number two, you must remind yourself of the harm of adultery. Actually, adultery now is the cause of the AIDS disease. HIV virus is always related to adultery, and there are also other illnesses. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Being patient through reminding himself of the great punishment of the sin in this world and the hereafter. Okay, let us read in Surah An-Nur, the same surah, surah number 24, verse number 2, about the punishment of the sin. Okay, when you will learn that there is a great punishment for those whom they commit adultery, and when you learn that Allah is commanding the believers to protect their private parts and to lower their gaze, so it will be following these commands will be the way to protect yourself from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is all through the patience with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will read from Surah An-Nur, Surah number 24, verse number 2, in order to know about the punishment for those whom they commit adultery. الله سبحانه وتعالى سيد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الزانية والزاني فاجلدوا كل واحد منهما 100 جلدة ولا تأخذكم بهما رأفة في دين الله إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر وليشهد عذابهما طائفة من المؤمنين. The woman and the man guilty of illegal sexual relation, flog each of them with 100 stripes. Let not piety withhold you in their case, in a punishment prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you believe in Allah and the last day. And let a party of the believer witness their punishment. Actually, this is the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those whom they commit adultery. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning it in the Quran to warn every believer to be away from this illegal action and that great sin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us always to follow His commands for our sake. So actually, this is an example to clarify and to make it clear for us that patience consists of two elements, knowledge and action. We have the knowledge from the Quran and from the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then we must put our knowledge in action by obeying these commands and following it in our life. And patience will be helping us. Okay, we must be patient in having the knowledge and we must be patient in practicing this knowledge. Okay, so the next question is how we can strengthen the motive of religion. Because we agreed that if we want to be patient, we must strengthen the motive of the religion and weaken the motive of the desires. So the question is how we can strengthen the motive of the religion. Actually, in the battle between the religion and the desires, we have the following weapons at our disposal. Number one, the belief in the unity of Allah, the belief of the greatness of Allah. Allah is the one who creates, who owns, who knows and controls everything in the heavens and in the earth. Allah is the only power and will in the universe. Whoever thinks and believes of the greatness of Allah will never be at an ease in committing any wrong actions. Okay, when you believe with sincerity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is controlling all your affairs, and when you believe that when you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has the power to make your life a hell. Okay, if this belief is clear in your spirit, it will be actually not easy for you to commit any wrong actions, because you will be always aware of the power and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aware that Allah can change your situation in 1 second if you don't obey Him. So believing in the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always give you the patience to obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Trying to avoid the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or trying to avoid being disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because being disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is opening for you a way for the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a true believer in Allah, you know that the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unlimited. Okay, so the belief in the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must give you the patience to follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, the second way to strengthen the motive of the religion in your spirit is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we should not disobey Him because of that love. A person should be obedient to the one who claims to love. Those who refrain from committing wrong actions out of the love of Allah are of the highest status in His sight and are those who worship Him out of love for Him. And this is the reality. The more you believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you believe that Allah is the one controlling your life, gradually you will start to feel that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you love the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And actually, it is the basic rule that when you love someone, you always want to keep the relation good with him. And how to keep the relation? By being obedient. Okay, this is regarding human beings. What about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the source of all the blessings, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hope for the believer in this life? When you ask when you ask me, and inshallah I am a believer, when you ask me, Mona, what is the hope for you in this life? I tell you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my hope. You tell me your qualification, I tell you no. Your husband, I tell you no. Your wealth, I tell you no. Your kids, I tell you no. Your health, I tell you no. My only hope in this life is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only power and only will and the source of all the mercy. So my hope is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of that hope. So long I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I always try to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that I can keep the relation with Him in the best shape. Number three, the third way to strengthen the motives of the religion in your spirit is remembering the blessings and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the rule that noble and decent people always appreciate those who treat them kindly. It is their noble nature and manners that make them to reward the good with the good. So let us count some of the uncountable blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that inshallah we can realize how we are in need of being patient with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us read from Surah An-Nahl, Surah number 16. We will read from verse number 10 to verse number 19, inshaAllah now. From number 10 to ayah number 19. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Now we will read from Surah An-Nahl, Surah number 16. We will read from verse number 10 to verse number 19, so that inshallah we can know about some of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هو الذي أنزل من السماء ماء لكم منه شر ومنه شجر فيه تسيمون ينبت لكم به الزرع والزيتون والنخيل والأعناب ومن كل الثمرات إن في ذلك لآية لقوم يتفكرون وسخر لكم الليل والنهار والشمس والقمر والنجوم مسخرات بأمره إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يعقلون وما ذرأ لكم في الأرض مختلفا ألوانه إن في ذلك لآية لقوم يذكرون وهو الذي سخر البحر لتأكلوا منه لحما طريا تستخرجوا منه حلية تلبسونها وترى الفلك مواخر فيه ولتبتغوا من فضله ولعلكم تشكرون وألقى في الأرض رواسي أن تميد بكم وأنهارا وسبلا لعلكم تهتدون وعلامات وبالنجم هم يهتدون أفمن يخلق كمن لا يخلق أفلا تذكرون وإن تعدوا نعمة الله لا تحصوها إن الله لغفور رحيم والله يعلم ما تسرون وما تعلنون صدق الله العظيم. Okay, I will read it in English, no problem. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. It is who send down water rain from the sky, from it you drink and from it grows the vegetation on which you send your cattle to pasture. With it he causes to grow for you the crops, the olives, the date palms, the grapes, and every kind of fruit. Verily in this is indicated an evident proof and manifest sign for people who give thought. And he has subjected you, the night and the day, and the sun and the moon, and the stars are subjected by his command, surely. In this are proofs for people who understand. And whatsoever he hath created for you on the earth of varying colors and qualities, from vegetation and fruits and from the animals, verily in this is a sign for people who remember. And he, it is who has subjected the sea that you eat thereof of fresh tender meat, the fish, and that you bring forth out of its ornaments to wear, and you see the ships through it, that you may seek of his bounty, and that you may be grateful. And he hath affixed into the earth mountains, standing firm, lest it should shake with you, and rivers, and roads, and you may guide, that you may guide yourselves, and landmarks, and the stars, they guide, and the stars, where mankind can use for guidance. Is then he who creates as one who creates not? Will you not then remember? And if you would count the favors of Allah, never could you be able to count them. Truly Allah is of forgiving, most merciful, and Allah knows what you conceal and what you reveal. So sisters, again and again, if we just try to reflect on verse number 18, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and if you would count the favors of Allah, never could you be able to count them. In these verses of the Quran, Allah the Creator, the Almighty, mentions some of His uncountable blessings. The rain, the sun, the moon, the stars, the day, the night, the sea, the mountains, the metals that are available in the soil. Most blessings remain unnoticed by man because man is too familiar to them. Man only notices the importance of the blessings that he has taken for granted when it is withdrawn. You know, this is the problem of the mankind. We only appreciate the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which you are taking them for granted when they are withdrawn. For example, when there is a hurricane, okay, we appreciate the good weather of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But so long there is sun and the moon and the weather is good, we are not thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are not appreciating the good weather of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We only appreciate the good weather when there is a hurricane. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take the blessings which we consider it for granted. Every day the weather must be good. Every day my health must be good. Every day my family must be in the good shape. My provision must be okay. The work has to be good. Okay, Allah must give me something every day. Allah is not supposed to take any of the blessings. You know, we are living with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this attitude to the point that Allah will withdraw from us these blessings, then we start to appreciate them and to be thankful to Allah, but it is always too late. Okay? Actually, we must learn more about the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding our life as human being, and we will read now from Surah Shura, Surah number 26, from verse number 75 to verse number 89. Actually, in my classes, I always repeat these verses of the Quran because I always feel that we need to remember the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Remembering the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always give a signal to the spirit that I must obey the one who is providing me with all these blessings. I must be patient with his commands and with his decree because he is showering me with uncountable blessings. And we will read now from Surah number 26, Surah Al-Shu'ara. We will read from verse number 75 to verse number 89. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال أفرأيتم ما كنتم تعبدون أنتم وآباؤكم الأقدمون فإنهم عدو لي إلا رب العالمين الذي خلقني فهو يهدين والذي هو يطعمني ويسقين وإذا مرضت فهو يشفين والذي يميتني ثم يحيين والذي أطمع أن يغفر لي خطيئتي يوم الدين رب هب لي حكما وألحقني بالصالحين واجعل لي لسان صدق في الآخرين واجعلني من ورثة جنة النعيم واغفر لأبي إنه كان من الضالين ولا تخزني يوم يبعث مبعوثون يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. You know, sisters, this is the words of Prophet Ibrahim to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, clarifying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how he is in great need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is saying in these words, the translation, he said, this is Prophet Ibrahim, do you observe that which you have been worshipping, you and your ancient fathers? Verily, they are enemies to me, save the Lord of Al-Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has created me, and it is He who guides me, and it is He who feeds me, and gives me to drink. And when I am ill, He who cures me, and who will cause me to die, and then will bring me to life again, and who, I hope, will forgive me my faults on the day of recompense, the day of resurrection. My Lord, bestow religious knowledge on me, and join me with the righteous, and grant me an honorable mention in late generations, and make me one of the inhabitants of the paradise of delight, and forgive my father, verily he is of the erring, and discharge me not the day when all the creatures will be resurrected, the day whereon neither wealth nor sons will avail, except him who brings to Allah a clean heart. Again, Prophet Ibrahim is calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, clarifying that the health is from Allah, the food is from Allah, the drink from Allah, creation from Allah, guidance from Allah. But it is not only this. It is actually the life from Allah, the death from Allah, forgiveness from the sins from Allah, to be in the paradise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the righteous, okay? And again, he is calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, clarifying that on the day of judgment, neither the wealth nor the sons will avail. It is only the clean heart, which is the heart of the true believer. So, you know, sister, this is the reality of the worldly life. Allah is clarifying it to us very simply in the Quran. Allah is the source of all the blessings for us in this worldly life and in the hereafter. So, if we believe in this in reality, it will not be very easy for us to be patient with the commands of Allah and to be patient with the decree of Allah, because we believe that the one who is providing us is Allah in this life, and the one who will save us from the hellfire is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of His mercy. It is very simple equation for someone who is actually having the clean heart, and for the one who is having the sincere intention with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have the sincere intention with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing that all the matters are up to Allah and all the blessings are out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be simply that your spirit will be trying to be patient all the time by all the means and to the deep extent with the commands of Allah and with the decree of Allah, because we say in the supplication, to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. Very simple. You know, Islam is a very simple, direct religion. Okay? There is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the power and the will and the mercy in this life and in the hereafter. And we, His servants. If we obey Him and we love Him, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower us with His blessings in this life, and the most important is the eternal life in the paradise. None can be in the paradise except out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you believe in this very simple equation, whom you will be patient with in this worldly life? Only the commands of Allah, only the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, you know, sisters, we complicate our life because our intention is not sincere with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The minute you have the sincere intention and the pure belief in the power and will with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the same minute that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make patience for you very easy, okay, regarding the commands of Allah and the decree of Allah. You will love to obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone will come and tell you the commands of Allah are very difficult. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not allowing us to eat so and so food. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not allowing us to wear so and so clothes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not allowing us to mix with the men. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not allowing us to lie or to cheat or to... this is how, you know, we evaluate our religion wrongly, because we don't have the sincere intention with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you have the sincere intention with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing that He is the only source of mercy for you in this life and in the hereafter, and you are living your life according to His decree, not according to your actions, nor according to your effort, not according to your struggle. It is only up to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you believe in this, what will be the next step? The next step, immediately, with the pure intention, O Allah, I will be patient with all your commands and your decree, so that you will be pleased with me and you will save me. You will save me in this life, because this life is very dangerous. There are many people whom they lose their mind. There are many people whom they commit suicide. There are many people whom they are in reality dead while they are alive. Okay, because they are so depressed, so sad, so deviated from the life. Those whom they are living with the drugs, living with, you know, drinking, living with gambling. Many people... A lot of people, actually millions and millions of people, are dead in reality because their spirits is dead. Okay, human being is not only a body to eat and to drink. Human being is mainly a spirit. Okay, when the spirit is not living in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a dead spirit, lost spirit. You can look around you and observe this. So how can I save myself from all these big disasters so that I can live a righteous worldly life, having a goal which is the internal happiness in the paradise, the only real life? This life is not real. This life is a test. This life is a passage. Okay, but there is an eternal life, yes. There is an eternal life of happiness, yes, and there is an eternal life of hell also. There are two. It is not only the paradise or death. No, if it is paradise and death, it will be easy. But it is paradise and hell. So when you look around you, and you notice that month of Ramadan is about to finish, okay, still the Muslims never change with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you tell to yourself, they deserve what will happen to them. They deserve. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the just. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying to us, you know, today, very simple verses of the Quran. Anyone, even if I can't write, or if I am not highly educated, still I can read the Quran and understand the rules of this worldly life and the rules of the hereafter. Muslims are not following these rules, it is their problem. But the rules of Allah and the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that if you follow, you will be rewarded. If you don't follow, you will be punished. Muslims want, you know, not to follow the rules and to escape the punishment. This is against the law of the only power in this life. So we must be aware, that when you are patient with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when you are patient with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are saving yourself. Allah is not in need of your patience. Your patience is for your sake. Okay? You are saving yourself from the disasters of this worldly life when you are lost, astray, away from the mercy of Allah, and from the very, very, very big problem, which is the eternal life in the hell. Okay? So actually, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we must believe that all what we have in this worldly life is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Forgiveness of our sin is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be one of the inheritors of the paradise is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the reality of our existence, which is by itself a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we are the noble people who appreciate all these uncountable blessings of the Most Merciful, we should not respond by doing against His commands. Instead, we must be very patient with His commands and His decree, as He is the source of our existence, our blessings, and our destination. The fourth way to strengthen the motive of the religion is patience, is to believe that patience is the way to defeat your shaitan. You want to strengthen your patience, okay? You must believe that through your patience, you can defeat your shaitan. Always remind yourself that, number one, your main enemy in this life is the shaitan, who is trying continuously to deviate you from the right path. Also remind yourself that patience is your weapon to defeat the shaitan and overcoming him. As through your patience with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be defeating the commands of the shaitan. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran about this fact. We will read now in Surah Fatir, Surah number 35, verse number 6. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الشيطان لكم عدو فاتخذوا عدوا إنما يدعو حزبه ليكونوا من أصحاب السعير. Surely Shaitan is an enemy to you, so treat him as an enemy. He only invites his followers that they may become the dwellers of the blazing fire. So it is only through patience with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and patience by being away from the shaitan whispers, that you can save yourself from the hellfire. The fifth way to strengthen your motives and to be more patient with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through the remembrance of the nature of the worldly life. Let us learn and remember about the nature of the worldly life so that we can realize the blessings of being patient regarding this deceiving enjoyment. We will read now from Surah number 57, verse number 20. The problem is that, you know, sisters, we are repeating and repeating and repeating. Subhanallah! This is, you know, a very bad sign. We are repeating the same, what the nature of the worldly life. Shaitan is your enemy. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of the blessing. Where is the action? Where is the patience with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where is the patience with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why Muslims are not changing? You know, this is the big question. You cannot keep on teaching knowledge, and no action. Because patience is knowledge and action. We are teaching the knowledge. But where is the action? So there is a problem, you know. There is a problem. Muslims are very eager to learn. And they are so not eager to do action. They are eager to have the knowledge. Read the Quran, recite the Quran, come to the masjid, learn about everything. Then you tell them, put your knowledge in action. Okay? They are not putting the knowledge in action. This means that they don't believe in the knowledge. Because when you believe in any knowledge, immediately, without any effort, you will follow it. Okay? So long as we are learning the knowledge. I mentioned about the nature of the worldly life, maybe before a year, 10 classes about the nature of the worldly life. And then what is the result? The result is that the number of the sisters is decreasing. You see? Yes, they know the nature of the worldly life, so they escape to the worldly life to enjoy it. All praise to Allah.
No, but why it's happening, I don't know. You know, it's very difficult. Because all over the scholars or something, I think most people, they want to... It's something probably our lecture delivery or something, or this is the way of Allah.
No, it is not Allah. Out of this equation, it is the human being whom they are interested to live the worldly life, and when they know about the rules of the Quran,
they feel that the rules of the Quran will put for them limitations to enjoy the life as they like. So forget about the Quran. Let us enjoy the worldly life. And then when we are above 60, we will do Hajj. We will ask repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the sins. Then we will have a white page with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, new one. Okay? Then Allah will make us to be in the paradise because He is the most merciful.
But they know, they're not sure they will live 60 or not.
They are not living 60.
No, but they know this thing.
Yeah, they know this thing. But still they deceive themselves because they don't want to, you know, to forget about the enjoyment of the worldly life, because the shaitan is so strong inside them. You know why? Because they are not trying in reality to have sincere intention with obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you have the sincere intention, oh Allah, in reality I want to obey your commands, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will support you by all the means to be patient with His commands. InshaAllah we will learn about the reality of the worldly life regarding this deceiving enjoyment. We will read from Surah number 57, Surah Al-Hadid, verse number 20. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اعلموا انما الحياه الدنيا لعب ولهو ودينه وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الاموال والاولاد كمثل غيث اعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما وفي الاخره عذاب شديد ومغفرة من الله ورضوان وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. Know that the life of this world is only play and amusement, pomp and mutual boasting among you, and rivalry in respect of wealth and children. It is as the likeness of vegetation after rain. Thereof the growth is pleasing to the tillers. Afterwards it dries up and you see it turning yellow, then it becomes straw. But in the hereafter there is severe torment, and there is forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and good pleasure. And the life of this world is only a deceiving enjoyment. So when we believe in reality from the depths of our hearts through the verses of the Quran, through the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we believe that this worldly life is a deceiving enjoyment, this will make us to be patient with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, patient with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hoping to have the paradise as the final destination. The sixth way to strengthen your patience is being mindful of this. We must believe that death comes upon us suddenly and without warning. Death means closure of the book of the deeds. Death means the end of the time of the test, the worldly life. This means the start of the other life, the grave, the day of judgment, and then either eternal happiness or in the paradise or eternal punishment in the hellfire. This magnifies the importance of the patience as a fundamental quality for the eternal happiness in the paradise. Actually, sister, this is another problem. You know, we can't keep on learning the rules from the Quran, discussing the rules of the Quran. And when you ask any sister, do you think that patience is an important quality for the believer? Yes, of course. Of course, patience is very important. Then you ask the same sister, okay, sister, what are the ways to strengthen your patience? Believing in the reality of the worldly life, believing that death can come at any time, loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing in the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. MashaAllah, excellent. Excellent sister, MashaAllah. A lot of sisters like this. Then when you observe the way of life of that sister, and many sisters, and most of the sisters, they are against the rules of what they are believing in.
This what they are saying.
What they are saying. This is the problem of us Muslims, actually, sisters. We are saying, being mindful of this. This is around us in every second. Okay? We are in need to be mindful of this. We are living the this.
Every minute you see or you hear or you know about someone, baby, old man, young man, whatever, that he died suddenly. Now inshallah we will read from Surah number 55 and we will read from verse 46 to verse 78 to know about the blessings of the paradise and to realize that we must be patient with Allah's command so that we will have all these great blessings inshallah in the paradise. We will read from verse number 46. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولمن خاف مقام ربه جنتان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان ذواتا أفنان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان فيهما عينان تجريان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان فيهما من كل فاكهة زوجان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان متكئين على فرش بطائنها من استبرق وجنى الجنتين دان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان فيهن قاصرات الطرف لم يطمثهن إنس قبلهم ولا جان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان كأنهن الياقوت والمرجان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان هل جزاء الإحسان إلا الإحسان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان ومن دونهما جنتان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان مدهامتان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان فيهما عينان نضاحتان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان فيهما فاكهة ونخل ورمان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان فيهن خيرات حسان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان حور مقصورات في الخيام فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان لم يطمثهن إنس قبلهم ولا جان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان متكئين على رفرف خضر وعبقري حسان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان تبارك اسم ربك ذي الجلال والإكرام.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. But for whom who fears the standing before his Lord, there will be two gardens in paradise. Then which of the blessings of your Lord will you both deny? With spreading branches, then which of the blessings of your Lord will you both deny? In them will be two springs flowing. Then which of the blessings of your Lord will you both deny? In them will be every kind of fruit in pairs. Then which of the blessings of your Lord will you both deny? Reclining upon the couches lined up, lined with silk, brocade, and the fruits of the two gardens will be near at hand. Then which of the blessings of your Lord will you both deny? Wherein both will be Qasiratu Tarf, chaste females restraining their glands, desiring none except their husbands, with whom no man or jinn, genie has had them before. Then which of the blessings of your Lord will you both deny? They are like rubies and coral. Then which of the blessings of your Lord will you both deny? Is there any reward for good other than good? Then which of the blessings of your Lord will you both deny? And besides these two, there are two other gardens in paradise. Then which of the blessings of your Lord will you both deny? Dark green. Then which of the blessings of your Lord will you both deny? In them will be two springs gushing forth. then which of the blessings of your Lord will you both deny? In them will be fruits and date palms and pomegranates. Then which of the blessings of your Lord will you both deny? Therein gardens will be fair wives, good and beautiful. Then which of the blessings of your Lord will you both deny? Beautiful, fair females guarded in pavilions. Then which of the blessings of your Lord will you both deny? With whom no man or genie had before them. Then which of the blessings of your Lord will you both deny? Reclining on green cushions and rich, beautiful mattresses. Then which of the blessings of your Lord will you both deny? Blessed is the name of your Lord, Allah, the owner of majesty and honor. Salam
alaikum. Beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us about the blessings of the paradise so that inshallah every one of us will always remember these blessings and they will stimulate him to be patient with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and patient with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that inshallah our eternal final destination will be the paradise. We should know that Allah has created us to live an eternal life in the paradise with no death, a life of pride and ease with no humiliation, a life of security with no fear, a life of joy with no pain, a life of richness with no poverty, a life of perfection with no sorrow. It is the paradise, the final destination of the true believers. But in order to reach this eternal happiness, we must be tested in this worldly life, a life which ends with death, a life full of fear, pain, poverty, and losses, a life of pride which is accompanied by degradation, a life where joy and ease are mixed with pain and sorrow. So many people are making a big mistake by seeking an easy life of power and pleasure in this world, but most of them never manage to achieve it. And those who do achieve it, they enjoy it only for a brief time, then it vanishes. The prophets called people to an eternal life of plenty, and whoever answers their call will have the best life in this world, better than the life of the kings. It is the life in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a life full of acceptance, patience, peace, and security. So it has to be, inshallah, the goal of every one of us, inshallah, to try to have the paradise as the final destination. This can be done by having the Quran as the closest companion, striving to live according to its law, having Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the role model, following his manners and way of life, choosing the religious company. The next way in order to strengthen your faith is the fear of the eternal life in the hellfire. If any of us realizes just for 5 minutes the reality of the pain, sorrow, and loss of having the fire at the eternal final destination, we will be so patient with Allah's commands and we will be so patient practicing the obedience of Allah's rules. The fire of hell is beyond the imagination of the mankind regarding its severity and long duration and great punishment. We will learn some of its disasters in Surah An-Naba, Surah number 78, from verse number 21 to 26. Actually, 2 years ago, I gave some classes about the paradise and the hellfire. And you know, sisters, you can't imagine. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how the paradise is so full of happiness to the degree that we will never imagine, and how the hellfire is a great punishment to the degree which we never imagine. It was mentioned, you know, in this book, which inshallah one day, inshallah, we will revise it all again because it is very important. It is describing exactly what will happen to someone whom Allah will send him to the hellfire. We pray to Allah that none of us, none of the Muslims will be in the hellfire. But it is just
at the gate of the hellfire, you know, those whom they are taking care of the hellfire, they will just give him a greeting that you can't imagine what you will face. You can't imagine what will be prepared for you. You can't imagine what punishment you will live in the hellfire. Just these words before entering the hellfire is enough for any human being, you know, to realize how he is a loser, to make himself or herself, you know, an inhabitant eternally in that punishment. So again and again, sisters, you know, we have minds. We can reflect why I will throw myself in an eternal hell for the sake of what? You know, we must think it all the time like this. No one is supposed to throw himself or herself in a blazing fire eternally, okay, for the sake of deceiving enjoyment which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who creates this worldly life, the one who creates the paradise, the one who creates the hellfire, he clarified to us the nature of the three of them. So we believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I realize how severe is the punishment of the hellfire, what will make me to throw myself in that hellfire, okay, choosing it? Muslims are choosing the way to the hellfire, okay? So everyone must ask herself why, for the sake of what? You don't know the punishment, you don't know the pain, you don't know how you will be a loser, you don't know the time. Can you tolerate the fire in this worldly life? And the fire of the hellfire is 70, it's to the power of 70, to the power of 70 of the worst fire in this worldly life.
Actually, these are some actually of the, you know, of the some of the realities related to the punishment in the hellfire, but only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the reality of the hellfire and how it is severe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us many times in the Quran, repeatedly, especially in the last chapter of the Quran, about the hellfire and its severity and its punishment, so that every one of us will be always trying to avoid it. Again, sisters, we will revise now the seven ways which we learned today about strengthening our patience. Number one, the belief in the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, remembering the blessings of favor and favored of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number four, believing that patience is the way to defeat our shaitan. Number five, remembrance and realization of the nature of the worldly life. Number six, being mindful of this. And number seven, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, remembering the blessings of having the paradise as an eternal final destination. And number eight, remembering the punishment of the punishment of having the hellfire as an eternal life. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that inshaAllah through the verses of the Quran and through the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every one of us will have time with herself to try to have a way of life based on these realities which Allah is teaching it in the Quran, so that inshaAllah we can be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He is teaching us these rules, and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to support us with the patience regarding His commands and regarding His decree. And inshaAllah next week we will learn in details about the patience in the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our role model, so that inshaAllah through that lesson about the patience of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will also have a way to strengthen our patience. And inshaAllah now let us leave there. الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صلِّ وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Oh Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. Amen. Oh Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, our Lord, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. Ameen. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. Ameen. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu 'anna. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu 'anna. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu 'anna. O Allah, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, our Lord, truly we have wronged ourselves and none can forgive sins except you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to forgive our parents and all the Muslims. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favor upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Inshallah.